distributing Prabhupada's books somewhere. Yay. Saturdays before Christmas, they're traditionally like mega days for distributing books, and I feel, in one sense, I feel guilty you're all here instead of distributing books. But maybe I'll say some things that will help you become inspired to distribute some of these nice books for the rest of not too many days left before Christmas. And some of you young devotees still have exams, right? Yes? You're not, you don't take exams? No? You do. How about you? Did you have your exams yet?
Yesterday.
They're over.
Yes.
Yay. Send me your report card. Yes, Maharaj. Did you do well? I think so.
I hope so.
Okay. First year freshman. Pressure. And change and so many things. Okay, well, I thought I'd speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam, and what's your name?
Sudarshan.
Huh?
Sudarshan.
Can you move forward a little bit, Sudarshan? Could you move forward a little bit? There we go. Sudarshan. Yeah? Okay. You know what Sudarshan means?
Sudarshan Chakra.
Yeah. What does the Sudarshan Chakra do? Yeah. When did he use it? You forgot. I got you panic stricken by asking you. How about with Shishupal? Did he use it with Shishupal? Do you know who is Shishupal? You don't know who is Shishupal. You're missing out. Shishupal, you know who is Kamsa, right? Who's Kamsa?
Oh.
Krishna didn't use the Sudarshan with Kamsa, he used his KO punch. He just sakoed Kamsa and he was finished. Shishupal was related to Krishna and he had a special unfriendly attitude toward Krishna. Shishupal, when Shishupal was born, this is described in Garga Samhita. This is to keep all the kids, you know, entertained for Saturday evening, Saturday night at the movies. Here we go. Shishupal was born in a family that's related to Krishna. And Krishna was born just a little before Shishupal. They were almost the same age. So like cousins, born almost the same age. And because he was born in a family that was related to Krishna, somebody spoke something and just mentioned Krishna's name. And Shishupal, little baby, he started to scream. You know, sometimes children cry and sometimes children scream. He screamed. And he didn't stop. It went on for hours. It went on all night long. The family was trying to understand, what happened? Bring a doctor. What's wrong? And he screamed all the next day and the next day, and he screamed for a whole month just from hearing the sound of Krishna's name. Shishupal had a very special, unpleasant relationship with Krishna. He hated Krishna. He thought of Krishna constantly. He was really Krishna conscious. But he wasn't a devotee. But he always thought of Krishna. Like Kamsa also always thought of Krishna. He didn't think of Krishna as a devotee thinks of Krishna, but he always thought of Krishna unfavorably. And then there was a special ceremony where the guest of honor, like the most exalted person in the assembly, is honored first. So you know who Bhishma Dev is? Bhishma Dev? You know who is Bhishma Dev? Who is Bhishma Dev? He's where? He is the grandfather of the Pandavas. Because they used to refer to him as Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma. Because the Pandavas' father was Pandu. That's why they're called the Pandavas. Right? Right? And the Pandavas, the Pandu, excuse me, was like anyway, it's too difficult to explain. He's like the grandfather. And he, when Pandu died early, the father of the Pandavas died when they were young, like young. Their father died. So the grandfather, Bhishma, cared for them like the father. But grandfather Bhishma, not only he took care of the Pandavas, but he was a great devotee of Krishna. He knew not just Krishna is a nephew, or great nephew, because Krishna is about the same age as Arjuna. You with me? I'm speaking to you. Ah, okay. You raised your hand. I know who Grandfather Bhishma is, so I'm speaking to you. You too. Okay. So, he knew that Krishna was the personality of Godhead, not just his, you know, the friend or the cousin of his grandsons. So during this assembly, Grandfather Bhishma, he volunteered to express his appreciation of Krishna. And he was in ecstasy, glorifying Krishna. Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna, Krishna. And Shishupal was fried, as they say, you know, the vernacular. He was really unhappy. He couldn't take it. He finally stood up in the assembly and started blaspheming. That's called an offense. He was blaspheming Krishna right and left and sideways. And Bhima, you know who's Bhima? Who's Bhima?
He's
one of the Pandavas. There's Yudhisthira, he's the oldest brother. And then there's Bhima,
Arjuna.
Then Arjuna, and then there are twins, Nakula and Sahadeva. Bhima was big and powerful, and he grabbed his sword, he grabbed his club, he was ready to knock Shishupal's head off. Krishna just held up his hand and said, "Let him speak." And he blasted and offended Krishna up to 100 times. And then Krishna just lifted his Sudarshan. Off went the head of Shishupal. The speaking part of his body got separated from the rest of his body. And then you know what happened? The soul of Shishupal went up in the air. Everyone saw, and merged into the body of Krishna. Just like that. Amazing. They cleaned up the mess and went on with the function. And then afterwards, Yudhisthira, who's Yudhisthira? He's the oldest of the Pandavas. Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, and Nakula and Sahadeva. That's five, right? Yudhisthira had a discussion with Narada Muni, because Narada Muni was in that assembly. And he asked Narada Muni, how did this happen? We all saw the soul of Shishupal entered into the body of Krishna. He achieved liberation. And we know that great sages and stately persons and ascetics and yogis, and they try for lifetimes and long duration trying to achieve spiritual perfection like that, and they don't achieve spiritual perfection. Here's this Shishupal. He was so nasty. And he achieved liberation. How did this happen? Good question, right? Good question. Would you like to know the answer? Okay, good. I'll tell you. Here's what Narada said. Just see the potency of the holy name. Shishupal, although his attitude was nasty, he kept speaking Krishna's name. Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And from that, he was freed from all the reactions of his past sinful activities, and he achieved liberation just by calling Krishna's name. What to speak of those who chant Krishna's name in a loving way, in a prayerful way, in a devotional way. How powerful is this holy name of Krishna? That's what Narada said. Do you chant every day? We had this discussion, I remember, just Friday. Yeah, Thursday. 2 days ago. And you chant every day, right? A little bit every day. Keep chanting. And hearing nice descriptions of Krishna's pastimes that are found in this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam. So I wanted to read discuss the prayers of Queen Kunti, or some part of the prayers of Queen Kunti. And two things, specifically. The importance of fixing the mind on Krishna. So if Shishupal can get liberation, although he was nasty, how important it is for us not only to chant Krishna's name, but to strive to fix our mind upon Krishna. Yena tena pakarena. Somehow or another, by this way, by that way, fix your mind upon Krishna. Fix your mind upon Krishna, and you'll go to Krishna. Your life will be Krishnaized during this lifetime, and the soul will go to Krishna. The goal of the human form of life can be reached that way. So, the importance of fixing one's mind upon Krishna, as Queen Kunti is going to describe in these prayers. And the second is how to have loving relationships, even in this world, even in this Kali Yuga situation that we find ourselves. But not just Kali Yuga, it's difficult being being in a material body and having, you know, a separate set of senses and a separate set of desires and a separate ego and a separate mind and separate. Each of us having our own little separate ways of doing things, and having, at the same time, with that challenge, having loving relationships. Queen Kunti gives the formula. So those are the two things. So I'm going to start with verse 36. The prayers of Queen Kunti are in the first canto, chapter 8. And we'll go from 36 to 42 and see how it goes. Queen Kunti says, she's speaking to Krishna. Here's the scene. You with me? Good. The scene is, the battle of Kurukshetra is over, and the funeral has been performed for those who are deceased. Yudhisthira has been installed on the throne. Krishna's purpose for leaving Dwaraka to come to Hastinapur is now fulfilled. So he's going back to Dwaraka. Dwaraka is where the Ugrasena and the Yadu dynasty had been residing. Previously they were in Mathura, but Krishna shifted them to Yadu, to Dwaraka, when both Kaliyavana and Jarasandha with their huge armies were attacking Mathura. So Krishna had Balaram hold them off while he had Vishvakarma very quickly build Dwaraka city, and then mystically transferred everybody to Dwaraka, situated them in their residential quarters, and came back to Mathura. And then some things happened, and Krishna went to Dwaraka. So he was residing with the Yadu dynasty in which he was born, including Vasudeva and Devaki, and all the members of the Yadu dynasty, Ugrasena being the king. So Krishna went as, not as the king of Dwaraka, but a prince, a royal order, royal family member in Dwaraka. But the Pandavas kept having a problem. So he would leave and come to Hastinapur to be with the Pandavas. And then the situation would be relieved and he'd go back to Dwaraka. So that's the scene. The situation is now finished. Kurukshetra battle is over. Yudhisthira is installed in the throne. Krishna is getting ready to return back to Dwaraka. He's just about to get on the royal chariot in the public square, and throngs, one can imagine, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people gathered to see Krishna off as he returns back to Dwaraka. Because Queen Kunti is queen, she has the right to go wherever she likes. She went through the crowd right before Krishna's chariot and asked Krishna, please don't go. And she's going to give some of her reasons why she doesn't want Krishna to go. But her reasons are reasons of affection. Krishna is the Lord of her life. Like Bhishma Dev understood that Krishna is not just the friend of his grandchildren. He's the personality of Godhead. Kunti also understood that. In fact, that's the very beginning of her prayers. She says, you are the super soul. Now imagine, I mean, because how else could we even think of this but imagining? You see somebody and you know that somebody is the super soul. Like, you know, the Lord of the heart, the one that's in the heart of every one of us, and he's right in front of you. And she knew that. That was her realization. And that was easy for her. The difficult part was because Krishna's father, who was Krishna's father? Vasudeva and Kunti are brother and sister. Right? Vasudeva and Kunti are brother and sister. So Krishna saw Kunti like his aunt, like mother-father kind of relationship. So Krishna treated Kunti with respect, like one treats one's parents with respect. He would come before Kunti and bow and touch her feet, take her blessings. And that disturbed Kunti, because she saw him as the personality of Godhead. Why is he coming to touch my feet? And even more difficult, that was difficult, but more difficult was she knew, she had heard what we worship all month of Damodar, that Mother Jasoda She's also mother-like to Krishna. So he would touch her feet. But Mother Yasoda would shake a stick and Krishna would cry. And tears would come from his eyes and his whole body shook out of fear of that little stick in Mother Yasoda's hand. And he's the personality of Godhead. So she says in her prayers, it's bewildering. It's a particular rasa that Krishna has with Mother Yasoda because of her intimate affection with Krishna. Krishna likes when intimate devotees, not Jarasandhas and Shishupals and Kamsa-like people, but intimate devotees, when they take a superior position and chastise Krishna with a stick, he cried. Now, if it was just like an at play acting, and Krishna goes boo-hoo and starts crying, he didn't mean it. He was just pretending, like, you know, he's a good actor. That wasn't it. He was afraid. Isn't that amazing? He who's feared by fear personified is afraid of a little stick in Mother Yasoda's hand. And when Mother Yasoda saw Krishna cry, she threw the stick away. Because she didn't want Krishna to cry, but she didn't want Krishna to steal. So she wanted to check her son from that behavior of stealing. That was totally bewildering. So we're being introduced to Kunti, and here's her appreciation of Krishna. Oh Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Now the Sanskrit of the verse is Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Abhikshnashaha. And this is an answer embedded in a later section of the Bhagavatam to one of the questions in the last chapter of the first canto. This is still chapter 8. But the last chapter, when Maharaj Parikshit meets Shukadev Goswami, you with me? Maharaj Parikshit. You know who's Maharaj Parikshit? He's the grandson of the Pandavas. When Krishna left, the Pandavas left. But before the Pandavas left, they put somebody in charge of the kingdom. Their grandson. His name was Maharaj Parikshit. He became the king. So the king, Maharaj Parikshit, had a little boo-boo. He offended a king. He offended a sadhu, a saintly person. He was cursed to die. So he distributed his kingdom to his son and prepared to meet death. And Shukadev Goswami came, along with many, 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 many thousands of sages to advise the king and be with the king during his departure. So the king, Maharaj Parikshit, asked Shukadev Goswami two questions. What's my duty? I'm about to die. And for that matter, who isn't? If it's not tomorrow, it's the day after tomorrow. Or someday, we're all going to have to leave our body, that's for sure. And what's my duty while I'm around? Good question, right? What's my duty? When I know that I'm going to die, we all know that we're going to die. The second question was, what is that subject matter that one should constantly hear, chant, and remember? So Kunti's answering the question. That subject matter that's in relation to Krishna is what we should hear, chant, and always remember. So that's what we're doing Saturday night when we could be out distributing books, but here we are, hearing about Krishna. So tomorrow we can go distribute Krishna, or sometime before Christmas comes. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshna shaha smaranti nandanti tavehi tam jana. And by doing that, two things. You'll see the lotus feet of Krishna, and that which can stop the repetition of birth and death becomes yours. That's the lotus feet of Krishna. No more birth and death. Seeing Krishna, just from what we're doing right now, if we do it regularly, carefully, attentively. Then, 37. Oh, my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. He didn't fight in the battle, but through others he did. Oh, Krishna speaks like that also in Bhagavad Gita. Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Krishna creates the four divisions of occupation. And then in the very same verse he says, yet I'm the non-doer. I do, but I don't do. And it's not double talk. He's the original cause of all causes, and through the agency of his potencies and his devotees he does. But he doesn't personally do. So saying, he came from Dwaraka to Hastinapur to ensure that a pious king, Yudhisthira, was on the throne ruling the world instead of Duryodhana. So, it's done. Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. You are leaving us today. Although we are completely dependent on your mercy and of no one else to protect us, now, when all kings are at enmity with us, her logic is, you came to protect us from Duryodhana and his brothers and all of the other associates who are in cahoots to rid the world of the Pandavas and pious kings. So Krishna wanted the pious kings to rule the world, not Duryodhana and company. So now that you're thinking, Kunti's saying, you're thinking now everything is nice. Those who are at enmity with us, they're gone. But there's all the relatives and the sons and the grandchildren and the wives and the sisters and everybody else that's remaining, they're going to hate us. So, you know, the enmity isn't over. And you're leaving? It's, you know, don't leave. Stay. Protect us. You're our only shelter. Text 38. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, then all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. If there's anything good or of merit that's within us, our family, or the royal family, here in Hastinapur or in Dwarka, it's you, it's your presence. And you're leaving? Oh, Gadadhar, Krishna. We'll ask you this one. What's the meaning of Gadadhar? Gada. Yeah. Very good. You right? Okay. Verified. Oh, Gadadhar, Krishna. Our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet. And therefore, it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. It's because of your presence that things are auspicious and attractive and wonderful, and you're leaving. And all of that will also leave. Please stay. Didn't reach the punchline, but it's all indicating, please stay, please stay, please don't go, please stay. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respect because The herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. And if you go, all that will be finished. Please stay. Please stay. And she loves Krishna. And Krishna loves her. And she's pleading with him to stay. How could he go? Text 41. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So she wants to become an impersonalist, right? She's aspiring to be a Mayavadi. You know what Mayavadi is? Come on. Go ahead, take a guess. Yeah. What do they believe in? Don't look behind your shoulder. Yeah. You knew. You just got nervous. What's the impersonal Brahman? What's the impersonal Brahman? Yes, you do. Huh? Krishna's effulgence. Correct? So in that effulgence of Krishna, what's there? Spiritual light. One description is that there's unlimited living entities packed up like little particles of light emanating from the body of Krishna. Spiritual rays emanating from the body of Krishna. There's no sense of personality in that Brahmajyoti, but there's a sense of spirituality or spiritual existence, or the Sanskrit is sat, the sat feature. So those individuals, they've got an attitude towards Krishna, but they like this thing of oneness. Become one with the Brahman. But so she's not asking to become one with Brahman. For that to happen, one has to cut all affection or affinity for things that are of this world, all temporary things. The devotee, that's Queen Kunti, and we're trying to become like Queen Kunti, needs to become attached to the personality of Godhead, and with the personality of Godhead, listen carefully, the material portion of our affinity for things of this world, the material portion of the affinity of our things of this world needs to be switched or transferred to a spiritual understanding of the relationship of all things to their source of emanation, Krishna. I'm going to read the purport because it's an important point. That's why I selected this. And it's a little subtle. So I don't know if the kids are going to pick up on it, but we'll try. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything of self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off all the affectionate ties from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and Vrishnis. The Pandavas are her own sons. and the Vrishnis are the members of her parental family. Krishna was equally related to both the families. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kundi Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. It's clear, right? So far. Krishna is now in Hastinapur. That's where the Pandavas live. That's her children. So she wants Krishna to stay with her and her children. But the problem is she knows her father's side and the whole other rest of the dynasty, they're over there in Dwarka. So if Krishna stays in Hastinapur, all the residents in Dwarka are going to feel separation from Krishna. They'll feel sad. But if then he goes to Dwarka, then her sons will feel sad. So she's torn between her two affections, her own children and her parents' children. So she's praying to Krishna, please take away the material portion of that affection, leaving the spiritual portion. To continuing. Paragraph. A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. Gives the example of the Goswamis. That's what they did. Sri Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. Paragraph. Such personalities as a brahmana, a devotee, a king, or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and being weak, she prayed to be freed from such bondage of family affection. The Lord is addressed as the Lord of the universe, or the Lord of the universal mind, indicating his all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of family affection. Therefore, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances, arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him, and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. So Krishna is not a family breaker, and Kunti is not, you know, I hate my family members. That's certainly not the right understanding. That's not a Vaishnav sentiment. But it's true that our mind becomes bewildered when we identify the self, ourselves, and or others in terms of the body. We become bewildered. Not just Kunti is saying like that, Devahuti was saying like that. Devahuti, she's up there too. She had as a son the personality of Godhead. That's up there. As far up as you can get. And when her husband, Kardama Muni, left to go back to the forest to engage in meditation, she spoke to her son saying, my mind is bewildered because I'm attached. I've been with my husband for, this is Satya Yuga now, but you know, tens of thousands of years, faithfully serving my husband, and now he's gone. My mind is reeling. I know that all of this is temporary. I know the philosophy. But my mind is reeling. And Prabhu's, we experience that, you know, due to attachment. Even we, you know, we're discriminating. We know what temporary is temporary, eternal is eternal, and so forth. But when we become attached to, not become attached to, when our attachments exhibit themselves, when something, there's a yank in the, a strong pull in the feature of duality in somewhere out there in where our attachments lie, we become bewildered. So Kunti is feeling that, and she's praying to Krishna to remove that bewilderment. Just as Devahuti was praying to her son, it's your Maya that's got me covered. Please remove your Maya. You have the power. It's yours. You put it there. Please remove it. And help me get to that position where I'm no longer bewildered by the temporary attachments to things of this world. She specifically says to family. Now, she's not an impersonalist who wants to merge in the Brahmajyoti. She's not like that. She wants to be fixed in devotion to the personality of Godhead. The answer, here Krishna doesn't give an answer. He doesn't respond directly to her prayers. But when Kapiladev is asked, he responds, and succinctly, there's a whole chapter that gives the answer, but succinct version is, he says, the very same attachment that one has for things that are temporary, for family and society and, you know, things that are temporary, transfer the same attachment to that which is eternal. Transfer attachment to sadhu. It doesn't mean now I don't care about my family. It means I can see in proper perspective with spiritual affinity minus the material attachment portion of that affinity that causes bewilderment. And text 42, this is our last. O Lord of Madhu. Look over this side. Who hasn't answered yet? Who is Madhu? Yes. Madhu. Madhu and Kaitava. Madhu and Kaitava. They're demons. They tried to steal the Vedas from Lord Brahma. Remember? Something like that? You remember? So Krishna came and killed them. So one of his names is Madhusudana. Oh. The killer of the Madhu demon. One family was thinking to a nice name for their child, and they weren't so sure about Madhu because they might think of Madhusudana, and that's not good, because Madhu's a demon. But Madhusudana, he's a killer. He's Krishna. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. She's not wanting to be an impersonalist. She's wanting to be a devotee. And in a position of devotee, she'll still have her sons, the Pandavas, and she'll still have her relatives, the Vrishnis, but you'll see them with spiritual perspective because of being fixed in meditation upon Krishna. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Two paragraphs and we're done. From the purport. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because it is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feeling of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated. But in devotional service, the desire is changed. Only for the service of the Lord in place of the desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc., consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. So one can live in society, one can live in family, one can live in country, one can live in community, etc. in full Krishna consciousness, with mind fixed upon Krishna. That's the goal. That's the desired goal. Doesn't mean leave community, country, society, family, and trash it all. It means see Krishna in those circumstances and serve Krishna in those circumstances from that position. So here's the last paragraph. Kunti's affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service. So she wasn't asking, please make me zero. Please anesthetize my feelings. She's not, I'm repeating myself so it's clear, but she's not asking for that. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than the service to the Lord. But here, the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family relation. This tie of affection, in terms of material relation, is the relation of Maya because the relations of the body and or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy, relations of the soul, established in relation with the Supreme Soul, our factual relations. And he says it again, slightly different language. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. Here it is again. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via media of the relationship with the Supersoul, Krishna. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing in the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. End of purport. So by the grace of our founder Acharya, we're being given a wonderful opportunity to enter into a transcendental relationship with Krishna, to go back to Godhead in this one lifetime. And in so doing, we have many other persons around us. Look around us. There's so many other persons of different ages and different backgrounds, different cultures and languages and stuff. So many varieties. And beyond these four walls, there's so many other varieties that are potentially devotees just waiting for you to go meet them on book distribution sometime before now and Christmas Day, and give them some books and introduce them to devotional service as a little instrument of our founder Acharya and his will to give this opportunity to others. By doing that, the attraction for Krishna, by hearing about Krishna singing or hearing his name, as is said here, by speaking these glories of Krishna or taking pleasure in others doing so, putting Krishna, who is nowhere on our picture, on our scope here, our screen, to put him at the center, and where the attraction just goes to him. And it doesn't mean we don't do our other things. We stop going to school and stop going to work and stop eating and stop being people. We do all the things that people do, but with Krishna at the center, and strive like that. And then there's relationships with the other people that are part of our lives. And the goal is to have a loving relationship that's on the platform of the soul, soul-to-soul relationships. That's possible not just by saying it so, but by seeing and acting in that relationship in relation to Krishna, because Krishna is at the center of all souls. That's reality. And just that what we're doing this evening and what the whole Srimad Bhagavatam offers to us, the opportunity to hear topics about Krishna, Krishna Katha, and discuss in the association of devotees, it has a great spiritual potency, purifying effect, reducing, gradually eliminating all the impurities of heart, Srinvatasva Katha, Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, The heart becomes cleansed. That's one wonderful thing. But another is that the natural attraction for Krishna begins to awaken. The ultimate of auspiciousness of life is right in our hand. As there's that saying, it's in your hand, but here it is, in your hand. Factually, and all it takes is vibrating the transcendental message, hearing carefully, vibrating, discussing with others, and taking some guidance in how to apply these messages in a practical way, and removing our affinity for being enjoyers of temporary things, putting in its place the affinity for being in happy, loving relationships, serving the devotees of the Lord on the soul-to-soul platform. That's the formula that's being given. It's very nice medicine. And when you regularly take the medicine, it works. It helps to cure the disease of material existence and bring the soul to its natural, healthy position. Do you read Bhagavatam regularly?
I used to.
You used to. Then you went to school and got busier and busier. Don't have time anymore. Try to make time. A little bit every day. Any comments or questions? Anyone? Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for the class.
You finished school, so you don't have a good excuse. Do you read Bhagavatam every day?
Okay.
Good.
We hear so much about the importance of being in the association of devotees and getting attached to the devotees. But could there be like a position? I mean, it's hard for me to like see on the soul-to-soul platform. So can there be a tendency of getting materially attached to the devotees?
Sure. Just like Kunti. If Kunti can do it, certainly we. Right? We're less than Kunti, right? And so Kunti can, so we can.
So
you pray like Kunti's praying. And go on with your hearing. And let my affinity or attraction go to you, Krishna. Because whatever, you know, at least factually, aside from, you know, what goes on the conditioned platform, factually, what the attractiveness goes to the soul, and without the soul in the body, what's the use of the body? What's the attractiveness? And the qualities that we find in the devotees, they're decorations of Krishna, so it's actually Krishna. And Krishna is giving us an opportunity to become conscious of Him and appreciative, aware of His presence everywhere. He's present everywhere, although He's a person. So, yes, there's certainly that, not only risk, there's a likelihood. Keep going. And, you know, calibrate where your attention goes. Cultivate the attachment to Krishna portion. All right. Anything else? She's got a question? She just wants to talk. You got a question? Okay. Okay. Okay, we'll have kirtan then. You have something? Okay.
We should have a soul-to-soul relationship.
That's what it says.
Yeah, through
soul-to-soul,
through soul-to-soul relationship. Yeah.